3 years ago, in 2017, the movie Silence, based on Shusaku Endo's book, was shown in theaters here in Japan. In June of the year before that, Dr. Phil Ryken, the president of Wheaton College in Chicago, gave a lecture entitled Silence, Becoming Like Jesus in His Death, which introduced Endo's book, Silence. At the beginning of this lecture, the following passage was read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Towards the end of Dr. Ryken's lecture, he pointed out that in Endo's novel, the face of Christ on the cross changes. Dr. Ryken said the following about this: there is a transformation in the priest's image of Christ. Early in the novel, he sees a face full of vigor and strength, a triumphant and exalted Christ. The face he later sees in the Fumie tablet is sunken and utterly exhausted, a crucified and humiliated Christ. Yet this is the authentic Jesus that Japan needs, that we all need, a rejected Christ who suffered for us and knows our weakness. Such a Christ is an embarrassment to every culture, but the scandal of his incarnation and crucifixion is also our only hope. This past February, I attended a seminar on preaching and meditation that was held at the Catholic House of Meditation in Susono City. Because it was a Catholic facility, there were crucifix images of Christ on the cross in the sanctuary, our bedrooms, and around the building. It was interesting for me during our four-day stay there because I felt like my impression of Christ's facial expression changed during my time at the seminar. In this morning's reading from the New Testament in Matthew 27, verses 45 to 56, we have a narrative that relates quite calmly the death of Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross, the passion of Christ. Did Jesus come to his moment of death with feelings of loneliness and despair, having been forsaken by God the Father? Why did Jesus quote Psalm 22, verse 1, when he cried out in a seemingly sorrowful voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me?" This morning, let's look to God's word to think about the death of Christ, the Son of God. And shall we bow for prayer before we turn to the scripture? Merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we cannot gather in our sanctuary, we can gather at home in small groups to worship you. In this last week of Lent, continue to prepare us for Easter. And as we look to your word this morning, may we hear you speaking to us. You know our situation. You know what we need to hear. So give us those words, whether they be words of comfort, words of healing, guidance, words to give us confidence, and of course, words of salvation. And help me as your messenger to be faithful to the message that you want brought this morning. And may we take from what we learned today and put it into action in the coming week as we serve you. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. I'd like to read again Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 45 tells us that darkness was over all the land. We can't be sure how much of the earth this phrase is referring to. Verse 33 says that the place where Jesus was crucified was a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. Whether the darkness covered the region of Judea around Golgotha or an even larger area is unclear. Matthew tells us that the darkness continued from 12 to 3 p.m. This was not just rain clouds keeping out sunlight, making things a bit darker than usual. It was very unusual darkness for midday, of course. And in the Old Testament, when God, who made light and darkness, wanted to show his displeasure or anger towards mankind, there are several records of darkness covering the land. In Exodus 10, verses 21 to 22, we read that when Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go, God's anger resulted in the plague of darkness covering the land of Egypt. And Exodus 10, verse 21 tells us that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. Amos, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, writes God's words in chapter 8, verse 9. He says, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. When Christ was put on the cross, did God's anger and discomfort show itself in the form of the darkness that covered the land? Amos 5:20 tells us, is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? When the darkness came in the middle of the day at Christ's crucifixion, the people must have been filled with worry and fear. The Bible also tells us that God himself is in the darkness, reading Psalm 18, verses 11, and then verse 28. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. God's anger against man's sin brings the darkness of judgment. This is a frightening thought. But when we think that God himself is in even the darkness, we realize what is really frightening is when darkness is in our own hearts. Now reading Matthew 27, verses 51 to 54. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. I wonder if there was a loud sound when the temple curtain was torn in two. When we read the words, the earth shook and the rocks were split, we see that the changes that suddenly took place were ones that the people could feel with their whole bodies, leading them to realize that something very big had just occurred. In the middle of these happenings that brought fear to the people, the Roman centurion who was standing guard near the cross declares, truly, this was the Son of God. I'd like to summarize now in closing. Today is the first Sunday in April. Unfortunately, we are not able to have a time of communion together. When we do have communion, we receive the bread representing the body, the broken body of the Son of God, and the cup that represents the blood that the Son of God shed for the atonement of our sins. And then we take words from 1 Corinthians 11:26 and we declare, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, what does the phrase, "you proclaim the Lord's death," mean? This is our task of telling others about God's Son coming to earth in human form, being born as your Savior, being declared righteous and perfect by Holy God the Father, and then dying on the cross in our place so that we might have forgiveness for our sin. The Apostle Paul teaches us the following in Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because Jesus was faithful to God the Father to the point of dying on the cross, we can have atonement for our sin and the hope that is in our salvation. Reading Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. The Lord's words of suffering and passion changed to words of trust in verses 4 and 5, and then to words of praise from the latter part of verse 21. These verses can be a good example for those believers who are in the midst of suffering and feelings of desperation. Our words can also be changed to words of trust, thanks, and praise. When we spread the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are showing that we ourselves have died to sin and now live in Christ. We declare our faith in Christ's death on the cross in our place, and we also declare that we desire to be made more and more like Christ. I'd like to close by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Shall we pray? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name, and we give you thanks for loving this world and everyone in it that you have created. And we give thanks that you sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to provide a way of forgiveness for sin, and to allow us to have salvation. In this period of Lent, help us to be able to pass on to others the good news of Jesus' death for all mankind. We give you thanks for always hearing us when we cry for help in the midst of suffering and difficulties. Make us new each day as those who have died together with Christ, and may the Holy Spirit make us more and more like Christ. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.